So I'm going to try to sit still and not move around too much. I don't know how well that's going to work. So the name of this message is A Change Is Going to Come. And really, the motivation of this message, I know I pray that it be the Holy Ghost that, you know, motivate this message, right? And I honestly believe it is. But actually, the whole theme of this message actually came from an open air conversation at work, right? So we work in cubicles in the office, and we're stacked in like a six pack of Cokes. Right, and nobody, it's just kind of open air, you know. If you're talking on the telephone, everybody's gonna hear your conversation. But really and truly, that gives opportunity for pretty interesting conversations, to say the least. And one of these topics of conversations, if you'll guess by the title of this message, is Nobody Can Change. And I'm like, humbly disagree. You know, I mean, I'm a living proof that somebody can change. You know, I know testimony after testimony after testimony of folks being able to change. You know, and the whole consensus of the conversation, the whole root of this belief from a coworker of mine, is the fact that, yeah, you can change the outward appearance, you can go on a diet, you can lose weight, you can change the outward appearance, but really and truly, whenever it comes down to it, you can't change the inner man. If the dude's lazy, he gonna be lazy. I don't believe that. I was a scoundrel. Boy, I was looking to stab somebody in the back while I'm grinning in their face. You know, and that whole persona, that whole attitude, that whole way of thinking has been, I've been delivered from it, praise God. You know, but where I did agree, and I actually went in this morning and I said, hey, Bill, say, check this out, man. They've cut me loose at church. I get to preach a sermon at church. It's not often that I get to do that, man. So I take an honor in being able to preach at church. And I said, man, you're the topic of my conversation. He said, say what? I said, do I need like a media release or anything like that you need to sign or anything? He's like, no, man, go ahead. And I said, you know, really and truly what it is it was motivated out of this conversation that somebody can or cannot change. And honestly, I'd have to agree with him to an extent. You know, there's some doctrines out there, man, that, you know, I agree with them 95% of the way, but it's that last 5% that they get squirrely, my belief. But anyway, you know, I said, to an extent, I can actually believe you. I can actually agree with you in the sense that since the fall of man, every one of us have been born into sin. Every one of us have been born into sin through Adam, right? Through the fall of man. But in the end, whenever the fall of man took place, let me see if I can explain this. Whenever the fall of man took place, it took us from our original form. It took us from our original intent. It took us from the original creation of what the Creator intended, right? Because He intended for us to be able to walk with Him in the garden and to live forever into fellowship with Him. But through the motivations of the lust of the flesh, all that went away by one bite. Right? But we go into Romans chapter 5 and it talks about that, you know, through one man, you know, the whole mankind has fallen into sin, but it was through one man that we've been sanctified, that we've been redeemed, that we've been bought and paid for, right? And that man is Jesus Christ. So into going into this, we can use the scripture to consistently and time again show that change is going to come. But there's a catchphrase to it. And this is where most folks really, and it's only really a two-letter word that most folks miss, right? And it's in Christ. But then we have to establish who Christ is. Well, the Word tells us in Revelation chapter 19, 13, it says that His name is the Word of God. So we can take Jesus Christ wherever it is in the Bible. We can take Messiah wherever it is in the Bible. We can pull that out. And y'all have heard me say this time and time again. And you can put the capital letter, capital W word in that place, man. And it fits everywhere we go. You know, Kevin, Pastor Kevin, whenever he looks at the, you know, whenever he's reading scripture and stuff, he confessed this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, talking about every time he looks into scripture, he can't help but see that everything goes back to salvation. Every time I open this Bible up, every time I read this Bible, every time I get into the Word and I start studying the stuff out, I might be on a track over here somewhere in Oklahoma, but eventually it's going to wind up over here to where it's talking about the Word, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. We can start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's that catchphrase, in Christ... Right? Let's use my theory here. God told us to be holy as I am holy, right? How do we do that? He's also told us that we're to be righteous, right? How are we to be righteous? How is it that if none are righteous, no, not one? How is it that none of us are righteous, yet now all of a sudden we can be righteous? God's telling us to be righteous. God's telling us to be holy, right? Jacoby, you know whenever the first time that the Lord told them to be holy as I am holy? Do you remember the first time in the Bible? It's in Exodus. It's in, I think it's chapter 7 or something like that. It was after the Exodus of Egypt. It was after the parting of the Red Sea. It was after the golden calves at the base of the mountain. It was after all of that. Everywhere you would think, the mumbling and the groaning and the moaning and complaining and all that, you would think that after all of that, all the mess ups and jacked ups and you can't get any worse than trying to worship a God that you made by yourself versus the God that pulled you through all this stuff. But even then, after all of the idolatry, all of the whoredoms, and all of this other business, God told them, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So, how is it that we can be holy? It's through His Word, correct? Time and time again, Scripture tells us to live out according to His Word. And that in itself is what makes us righteous. That's what causes us to stand in the eyes of God and be innocent of the decisions that are made whenever we apply His Word to our life, right? So in doing that, most folks would argue the fact, well, Bible was written by man. Well, Scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. All Scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost, is what the Scripture says. But see, the atheists even use this same method of argument, talking about what they call circular reasoning. Well, the Bible says, well, the Bible says, well, the Bible says. Well, let's get outside of the Bible. Time and time and time and time and time again, the Bible has been proven evidentially, archaeologically proven, through archaeological digs, through the evidences throughout history, the evidences have proven the Bible to be 98% accurate, 98% true. You can't say that about any other religion. They're all bona fide religions. Every one of them are bona fide. Even the half click off religions that birthed out of Christianity, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and all that, they're all a bona fide religion in the fact that people believe this stuff, right? But whenever it comes down to it, the very evidence is proven that the Word of God, the Word that we have here, is accurate. It's truth. So we can take that knowledge and we can understand, we can use this as a guideline to the Word of God in the fact that we can apply it to our lives to where the change will come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in the Word, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled, underline that word reconciled, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled us to who? Himself. Who? God. By who? Jesus Christ. By what? The Word. and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, underline that word. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not a select few, but the world. Reconciling the world, that world means the world, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Underline reconciliation. The word reconciliation, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means an exchange. Take something old, take it over here, and you're given something new. It's an exchange. It's almost like trading a vehicle in on a new vehicle, right? There's an exchange that takes place. God, through his word, there's an exchange between God and man, through the old man versus the new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Anyway, let's go ahead. Reconciliation means to exchange. Figuratively, adjustment. That is restoration to the divine favor. A restoration to, right? Whenever I hear the word restoration, I think of my stepdad who takes old, banged up, old 1930s and 1940s cars and all banged up and all that, brings it into the garage and restores it to the brand new form, right? Takes something old, and now the argument would be, well, Shauna, it was still the car. It was still the 1934 coupe. It was still the coupe. Yeah, but it's new. It's gone from a deteriorated, used up fashion into a new fashion. It's completely made new. Amen. And favor is another word for grace, atonement, reconciliation. It comes from the root to change mutually. That is figuratively compound a difference, reconcile. Romans chapter 12, verses 1. And 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why would we be instructed to live our lives like a living sacrifice? Huh? I didn't hear you. Okay. Yeah, I mean, but the sacrifice, Jesus willingly sacrificed himself on the cross, correct? He had the power, I mean, according to John chapter, 19? He had the power to apprehend any one of them, right? Whenever they said, who are you, aren't you him? He says, I am, and whew, all the men that came after him fell, right? So there was power in his word, right? So, he sacrificed himself, and we're called to model after his life. So therefore, the sacrifice would be to cut away the things that aren't necessary. To cut a thing. Trying to figure out how I can. Anyway, let's move on. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I know that being the living sacrifice, whenever we're living out the will of God, and the will of God is His Word, whenever we're living out His will, you know, Scripture tells us, and we're going to get into it here in a minute, that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, right? There's going to be a sacrifice there. There's going to be a cutting away of things that aren't necessary. I know I was explaining to my kids last night in Bible study about, you know, the husband that grooms the tree, you know, and grafts in the wild branches of the olive, you know, the wild olive tree, you know, and he grooms, and just explaining how on this tree, on any tree that bears fruit, and frankly any tree at all that grows, you know, if it's not tended to, it's going to have shoots and sprouts that come off that are going to be unproductive to the purpose of the tree. But it's going to draw the nutrients away from the branches that bear fruit, right? Known as suckers, right? No pun intended. You know, we got a lot of suckers, man, that are drawing off the nutrients of the tree but not producing any fruit, come on, right? That need to be cut off. Well, frankly, in the end, whenever it's time to stand in front of the judgment seat, that's what's going to happen. You know, those that aren't producing fruit, those that aren't contributing to the bearing of the fruit of the tree, they're going to be cut off. But then the explanation for this was the fact that because of the fall of the Hebrew people, the lack of dedication to following the Word of God, Jesus Christ came and opened the door up for the Gentiles, those of us that aren't Jews, right, to be grafted in that are bearing fruit, praise God. But there's going to be a sacrifice. There's things that are going to have to be cut away, you know, as we grow. As we grow in the things of God, there's going to be things that have to be cut away. Old habits. The reason why the Hebrew people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and those that were over the age of 20 had to die off before they were able to come into the promised land is because of the stinking thinking that was going on. Whenever they moved into, old things had to pass away in order for new things to take place. All right. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Reasonable. Let's go back up real quick. Reasonable. It's rational. Logical. Reasonable of the word. Logical. It's a logical service. It's a logical service to know that the creator of the universe hung himself on a cross for our salvation. It would be logical. It would be logical to serve him. And him alone, it would be the logical service. Service is the ministration of God. That is worship. Service. Anything and everything that we do is a logical worship to God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed. That word conformed is to be fashioned alike. That is conform to the same pattern, conform to, fashion self according to. Be not conformed to this world. Give you an example of what the world looks like. Galatians chapter 17, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Let's go there. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, sex outside of marriage, fornication, sex while you're with anybody that you're not married to, uncleanliness. Let's see, uncleanness, fornication. Fornication, the Greek word for fornication is porneia, which is the same word that we get pornography from. Harlotry. Uncleanness is lewd, foul, impure. Lasciviousness, wantonness. Lasciviousness is the lustful desires of wanting something that you can't have. Idolatry, which is self-explanatory. Witchcraft, which is pharmakia, which is the word we get pharmacy from. Medications, drugs, hallucinogens, things of that nature. Hatred, self-explanatory. Variance, a quarrel, that is by implication, wrangling, contention, debate, strife, variance, arguing, just to argue. I tell you it's blue, you're going to tell me it's light blue just for the sake of arguing, right? What else, man? I mean, just deliberately being contentious with things, looking for a fight, looking to argue the point, looking to debate strife, just cause issues. Emulations is fervent mind, indignation, jealousy, zeal, wrath, strife, to provoke, seditions, disunion, division, dissension, sedition, man. Disunion, division, man. You come in causing divisions, man. You can't associate with one person without being mad at somebody else. You can't have more than one friend at a time. You know what I mean? You can't come in and associate with more than just one person or one group of people. You know, find yourself in a clique, and it's just you and your homegirls, your homeboys, and that's it, that's all. That's dissensions, that's disunion. Emulations, let me see, seditions, heresies, a choice, disunion, heresies, man. Whenever I read that and I saw the word choice, you had a choice. Really and truly, man, if you think about it, anything outside of the Word of God, anything outside of the Word of God is a heresy. Your opinion, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, is a heresy. Your worldview, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, is a heresy. Thirty-second delay. Envyings, ill will towards somebody, murders, self-explanatory, drunkenness, being talking about an intoxicant, revelings, carousal. The word revelings, man, it got me because I don't know how many times in my family I've heard the phrases or things of that, and I'm going to let my hair down and paint the town red. Out carousing around, you know, tomcatting, you know, all these other, whenever I hear the word carousal, I'm thinking of all these other redneck words, you know, that go along with it, with tomcatting and bar hopping and doing all this other business. Revelings, rioting, loving to fight, looking to get into a fight, just intentionally just wanting to, it sounded like our pastor at one point in his life, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, don't be deceived. We can go there. It's the blue one. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates. Effeminates, cross-dressers. Those that are male that are wanting to be female and vice versa, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards. That word drunkard means tipsy, so you're catching a buzz. Nor revelers, man. I've had this conversation at work. I don't know how many times, and try to argue the word and get, man, I don't care what your opinion is. The Word of God says a drunkard is to be tipsy. You shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven if you desire that more than you desire the Word. If you desire that more than you desire walking with the Word of God and believing the Word for what it is. Nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These things, these are the things that we are born into. These are the things that we look at and naturally feel like we belong to, right? We don't have a problem with sleeping around with other women or other men. We don't have a problem with even if we're married, we don't have a problem with other folks that are living together that aren't married or married to somebody. I know my wife and I, whenever she and I first got together, she was married to another man. Didn't see a problem with it. I was a Christian. I was a professing Christian at the time. Of course, I was a drunk too. Jesus says that if you look upon a woman and lust after her in your own heart, you've already committed adultery. Would that not apply the same as if opening up the door for fornicators to come in your house and happily be invited into your house and you not have a problem with it and not men? Would that not be the same thing? Would that not be the same thing? Yeah, you don't drink, but you don't mind having your homies over to have a beer or two at the pool. Wouldn't that be the same mentality, the same attitude? Right? I don't steal nothing. I've got a good job. I don't have to steal anything. I can pay cash for everything, right? But I don't have a problem with my buddy walking out of Home Depot or Lowe's with a temperature gauge in his hand, not paid for. Isn't that the same mentality, same attitude? Pastor Kevin was preaching on it. He says, man, to say nothing is to stand in agreement with it. Conformed. Be not conformed to fashion alike. That is conformed to the same pattern. Conformed to fashion self according. We're born into this laundry list of things that are contrary to the Word of God, and we're comfortable with the things. We don't know no different. You know, I know an individual that has been married and divorced 5 times, and the one that he's living with now is not his wife. Right? He cannot tell me, he cannot instruct me, he cannot give me sound counsel as to how to do it right. He can only share with me his failures, his experience in failures. Right? And this is why the Word of God is such a crucial, intricate message from the Creator of God. You know, it's the standard that's been set. It's the bar that's been set. Right? But even then, Pastor Sean, what about, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do none of this stuff. I don't go to church. I don't necessarily believe in God, but I don't do none of that. I've got a good paying job. I've got retirement built up. I got all of this here. You've also got a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. Whenever it boils down to it, man, we can go through God's litmus test. Have you ever told a lie? Do you like it whenever other people lie to you and you find out about it? No. Why? Because God's laws are written on every man's heart according to what the Word says. These are just different examples of if you profess to be a Christian or you say that you're a godly person, but you're living in or amongst or around this laundry list of things that are contrary to the Word of God, right? Pretty good chance that you're missing it. Pretty good chance that you haven't been redeemed. Pretty good chance that you haven't been saved. Pretty good chance that you're not walking with God. It's a real good chance, right? I don't know another book. I don't know another book that will lay it out as clearly as this book. Right? There's not another book about Jesus Christ like this. But the good news is that in Jesus Christ, going back to Galatians chapter 5, whenever we come in and we receive Christ as our Savior and we start applying the Word to our life and we start studying, we desire the things of God versus the things of the flesh, whenever we start applying the Word of God to our life, things are going to start manifesting. Do they manifest immediately? Some of them do. Some folks are delivered from drug addiction and alcoholism and things of that nature, the addictive personalities and stuff, things will automatically just, I haven't been that fortunate. to have things taken out of my life just instantly. You know, there's things that I've had to sacrifice myself over. I've had to, you know, my family has been tormented whenever trying to come off of tobacco not so much alcohol, but tobacco. But the good news is that whenever we start applying the Word of God to our life, things start happening. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right after verses 9 and 10, verse 11 says, and such were some of you. Let me go back here. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified, which means set apart, made different. But you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord, of our God. Praise God. But we were washed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, it talks about Jesus Christ, the divine nature, right? And in talking about the divine nature, that word nature actually means disposition. You know, and whenever you talk about disposition, you know, this is one of my favorite sermons, you know, talking about the character of Christ. The word nature means disposition. And whenever, you know, there's a whole lot, there's a laundry list of words that form up, but the one that really stuck out to me was disposition. And you think, for me, as a horse trainer in the past, you want to know what the disposition of the horse is before you buy it. You know, you want to know if it's bomb-proof for kids or if it was meant for saddle bronc warm-up, right? You know, so you start putting pressure on and examining this horse. You start with the mouth and the head and the ears, and you work your way down to the feet and the tail, and then you start working the saddle blanket and then the saddle. Every horse has a glitch somewhere. Every horse we can apply this to people. Everybody's got that little soft spot, you know, that's gonna cause them to flinch. That's gonna, you know, whether it be addictions, whether it be relationships, whether it be a way of thinking, right? We can have a godly way of thinking. We can have a certain way of thinking, and it be right in our own mind. But whenever we line it up to the validity of the Word, it falls apart. Everyone's got that soft spot, right? And Pastor Chris had made mention of it last weekend, talking about that whenever somebody gets put under the pressure, whenever the pressure's being applied, what is it that comes out? Is it the cuss word? Is it a right hook? Or is it Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Are you gonna war against the spirit, or are you gonna war against the flesh? In everything we do, we have a choice. I have a choice, and my character trait is a choice. Right? I can be a man of integrity, or I can be a scoundrel. It's a choice. It's a sacrifice. It's a war between the flesh and the spirit. But that word disposition means whenever you're put under pressure, what comes out? What comes out? And we can go on down through 2 Peter 5 through 7, and it's talking about the character of Christ. Add to your faith virtue, right? And there's a laundry list. I mean, there's 7 or 8 or 12, I think 7. I didn't mark that neither. Praise God. 2 Peter, just because it's one of my favorite scriptures. That I can't find. Actually, whenever I first came to Christ, shortly after I came to Christ, I got into a program. It was called Texas Association of Ex-Offenders. It was created by the founder, Dr. Paul Carlin, who now does big time. He's always been big time in prison ministry and does the Therapon Institute, which is an accredited theological seminary for inmates. And he primarily is focused on East Ham Unit, I do believe. And I've got a dear friend of mine that's an older brother in the faith that has graduated with his doctorate's degree through Therapon. And but anyway, he initially founded TACS, Texas Association of Ex-Offenders, and the very root, the very foundation of that program was the Second Peter Principles, teaching a bunch of hoodlums, a bunch of hood rats, right? The people that didn't have a solid foundation or understanding of what a man is or what a man does or who a man, what the value of a man is, right? And took and used this as a foundational principle, foundational teachings of raising men up to be godly men, right? And the only way that we can do this is through our character, through that thing, through that disposition. Whenever we're put under pressure, what comes out of us? And we can go through this laundry list, man, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 is a list of examples as to what we're to do as Christians. The examples that we're supposed to be setting as Christians, right? What does this have to do with change? These are all explanations, these are all examples of the things that we strive to adhere to in our lives, the things that we try to acquire, we try to work towards, right? This isn't Matrix, man, to where we can back our heads up into a computer, man, and get downloaded kung fu. It just don't work that way. You know, there's work involved, right? The word faith actually comes from the Greek root word patheo, which is a verb, which is an action. You know, so you talking about, you know, we're not saved by works, but you're going to work after you're saved. Otherwise, it's fruitless. It doesn't abound, right? For if these things be in you and abound, right? In conclusion, Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 says, "And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes," hello, "and ye shall keep my judgments," come on, "and do them." And do them. That word heart, also used figuratively very widely for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect, courage, right? We talk about a man, he got heart. You know, he might not have a boxing game, but he got heart. He got heart the size of Texas, right? He knows he's going to go into this fight and get whooped, but he's going to fight anyway. You're not going to run him off because he's not a coward, right? But it's also the intellect, the very way we think, the heart of the matter, of the situation. Here's the one that really gets me, though, is the word spirit. Ruach in the Hebrew means wind, by resemblance, breath. That is a sensible or even violent exhalation, figuratively life, the very life. He's going to breathe his spirit in us, right? In the beginning was the Word. I said all that to get to right here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word of God was manifest in the flesh. It was made into flesh and walked among men, dwelt among men, however the wording goes, right? But the whole intent was that the Word of God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19, 13 said it earlier. He is the Word of God. Whenever he comes back on that great white horse, whenever he comes back after the last trump blows, on his vestures, on his gown, running along his leg, is his name, and his name is the Word of God, right? So it's the very Word of God, very breath of God that comes back. And the reason why I say the breath of God, because we can go to Genesis chapter 1 to where in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? And God spoke and said, let there be light, right? That's the Word. That's the Word. That Proverbs talks about that he was there in the beginning. Before anything was created, he was there with the Father, right? His Spirit, the Word, that he, whenever he created man, whenever he created man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed pneuma into the lungs of the man, that was Jesus Christ. That was the very life of God put into. It was the Word. It was the very the breath, the Spirit, the Word of God that was put into man. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. There is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Right? Allow God to breathe that life into you. Who is that life? Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm done. I'm kind of like the Apostle John. Everything I see Word. I see how Jesus is the Word, how it is the Word that makes us righteous. It is the Word that makes us holy. Amen. Thank you for coming out. 8:22, that's not too bad. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you do, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that this word minister. I pray that it go forth and do what it's called to do, dear Heavenly Father, and let it not come back void. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to pray for Cyrus, dear Lord. Amen. Pastor Chris, he said good word. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Amen. We need to pray for Cyrus. He dislocated his thumb in football and had to be taken to the emergency room. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Cyrus. Lord, the boys had a rough go of it this year trying to get to play football and all that, Lord. And I pray that your will be done, Lord. But I pray for a healing in his hand, dear Heavenly Father, and his finger in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Miss Becky. We pray complete and total healing for her, dear Heavenly Father. Cleanse her body. Cleanse her body of this microorganism, dear Heavenly Father. Man, I know whenever we were sitting in her room, whenever she first went into the hospital, had a little Iranian doctor come in, and he was the only one. I was in there for a couple of the doctors coming in, but he was the only one, and I don't know if he just slipped up and said it or what, but he said it was a microorganism that causes this, right, leukemia. So that's something foreign to the body that made it into the body, right? So, Lord, I pray that that microorganism be cleansed out. Now, if I'm wrong, correct me, please. Lord, but I pray for complete and total healing for Miss Becky in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray for Brother Randy, dear Heavenly Father, that the cancer that's in him or that you set him free from it too as well, dear Heavenly Father. I pray a complete and total healing for them, Lord. Lord, I pray for Lamina, Ronnie Shelby's wife. She's going in for surgery. I don't know exactly when, but I pray that the hands of, I pray that you guide the hands of the doctors, dear Heavenly Father, and I pray that whatever they're going into to fix is fixed in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Honestly, I'd like to see a miraculous healing take place. You've done it for me, dear Heavenly Father. You've done it for so many people, dear Heavenly Father. I believe that you're still in the business of miracles, dear Heavenly Father, and I pray for a miraculous healing in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that we don't need to rely on drugs and medications and things of that nature, dear Heavenly Father. I pray that you move mightily for your people, dear Lord. I give you praise, glory, and honor, dear Heavenly Father, and I pray that each and every one of us are blessed through the rest of the week, dear Heavenly Father, and I pray for safe travels for Pastor Kevin and Brett as they come back from Nebraska, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, and we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Clap those hands. If you're kept by the grace of God, let me see you clap.